All right. Should we do it?
Let's do it.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. Well, thank you all for joining us again after our short Thanksgiving break. As you can tell, I sound like crap.
And you sound abnormal, dude. Wait, that sounded meaner than I intended. Hold on. I like said it as a way of trying to be like supportive, and then as soon as I finished that sentence, I was like, wait, that came out wrong.
I am far more nasally than I normally am, but...
A little bit, but it'll be fine.
I'm still just as excited about the Caps season as I always have been, so...
Not this West Coast road trip, can't watch any games.
We are recording this on a game day. That's the only day Coach Dan and I could meet up and do a podcast, so unfortunately, if you are listening to this, well, you will be listening to this on Thursday. We will not know what's happening with the LA Kings game, but we're here to recap the last couple weeks since we were off. Coach Dan, how you doing? How was your Thanksgiving? Did you eat a lot of turkey?
It was good. I did have a good amount of turkey. How about you?
Yeah, same.
Did you eat a tofurkey?
I did not go with the tofurkey. Did not go with the turducken or the turturkiki, like in How I Met Your Mother. But had myself some turkey, some pumpkin pie, some good stuff. Had a fun time at the beach. Got a tattoo. That's a first for me. So that's been kind of cool.
Did you really?
I did. I got a tattoo.
What... Where did you get said tattoo, and what is it of? I saw it online.
Yeah, it's
put it on Facebook.
It's my first tattoo, so I didn't want to go kind of crazy, but it's at the top of my
Ovechkin, isn't it?
Yeah, it's at the top of my back, kind of like where my neck meets my back, and it's just a tiny little wave, it's just a one single line, and it was all for charity for Believe in Tomorrow. They do great work where if kids are really sick, they have a house in Ocean City where the kids can go and have a family vacation. It doesn't cost the family anything, so it was a charity event. And was to commemorate my mom, aunt, and I becoming business partners and buying a place at the beach and renting it out. We've been doing that for 2 years now. So good stuff all around. But we each got matching tattoos. And I don't know. Everybody says, like, you get one tattoo, you're going to go back and you can't wait to get another one. I did it. I'm kind of cool with it. Like, I'm not dying to go back, but I might get one down the road, but it's not something I think I'll do immediately. But anyway, I mean, if you dig tattoos, cool. I'm glad I got it. I think it looks really cool. But anyway, we're not here to talk about my tattoo. We're here to talk about the Caps. It has been a busy 2 weeks. For some reason, the Capitals love to break news the day after we record, or if we announce we have to take a break due to vacation or a holiday or whatever. They like to do all the things. So we have a lot to cover in this episode. Let's start off talking about Chandler Stephenson with the Vegas Golden Knights. Already has a goal under his belt, wearing the white and gold. We've been talking about this all season, what the Caps are going to do with the salary cap space and how they don't have any. And Chandler was always at the top of the list of guys that might get moved out. And unfortunately for him, he was moved out, but maybe he'll get a little bit more playing time with Vegas. He is a talent. I was sorry to see him go, but I don't know. What are your thoughts on the Chandler-Steven move?
I think moving Stephenson made sense. I think it was something that they had to do. They needed to free up the cap space. This is a team that doesn't have much of it, especially when all the guys are actually healthy and playing. Dowd had come back, and they were going to be bringing back Hagelin. And they needed to move someone to not be over the cap, which in the NHL you're not allowed to be. It's not like Major League Baseball where you just pay a fine if you go over the cap ceiling. So they had to do something, and I think it came down to Stevenson or Boyd, and I think they like what they've seen from Boyd lately and the fact that he only cost $800,000 in his cap hit versus, I think Stevenson, let me check it real fast, but I believe he was at not 1.5. That sounds a little high, but 1.05. So, you know, it was an extra 250,000 that the Caps are saving. Not a ton. I wouldn't be surprised if this wasn't the last move this team made, but I do think that there's...
Did you say if this wasn't the last move?
You know, I feel like there could be another move that the team could make. But as you get further into the season, bringing in guys, if they were to bring in someone at the deadline or beforehand, because now that's all, everybody brings in guys before the deadline. Apparently that's the new go-to move. The cap is not what it was at the beginning of the season. There's like money accrued or something throughout the season. It's actually less, and you potentially have that opportunity to bring in a guy who you may not have had room for at the beginning of the season. You have room for them then. And plus, they can do that weird thing where they send Samsonov down and bring up Vanacek again just to free up cap. I don't know. It was whatever. The team needs to make another move if they really want to free up cap space. But they have some opportunities to do that after the season with a bunch of guys being free agents or potentially just being moved out. Anyways, getting into the Stevenson thing, I think this had to be done. His stats were not necessarily that great. You know, it wasn't someone you're going, well, we can't afford to lose this guy. I think you move him out with the intention of obviously just being, this is a salary cap dump. They were not looking to bring back a guy to play on the NHL roster. I was a little surprised they didn't go out and get someone for Hershey, be it a prospect, though. I don't feel like you're going to get like a top end prospect for Stevenson, but maybe you get a guy that could then play on the third or fourth line in a year or two for him. But they went out and got a fifth round pick, which tells me that, yeah, it was a salary cap dump. And I think it was an opportunity for Stevenson to get some playing time. I don't think it was a negative thing about him. I don't think they were like, we have to get this guy out of here. I think it was just a reality of their cap situation and what the team has put themselves in by giving a lot of big money to players like Kuznetsov and Orlov and Carlson. You brought in Gudas, you gave Kempney and Jensen extensions to keep them around. You got Haglund, you signed him to an extension, you signed Ponick for the next 4 years. None of these are a lot of big money. Some of them are big money, but the reality is when you have everybody making a decent amount, and I say this in terms of like professional sports, like the salaries that they make right now is so much money in reality. But anyways, in professional sports, you know, some of these guys aren't making a huge salary for their particular sport they're playing in. But when you don't have the cap space, you have to move someone out. And Stevenson, I think, was the easiest one to move out that doesn't affect the team necessarily in the long run. But I feel like if they had the cap space, they probably would have kept him around. But the reality was they felt like Leipzig and Hathaway and Ponick were players that were going to be able to produce more than he was. So they brought those guys in the offseason, and I don't think that Stevenson necessarily proved them wrong. And so that's why he was the guy that got moved out.
It's really hard when you have a guy like Travis Boyd, who is playing so well and, like you said, is cheap. It's hard to deny that. I mean, he's got everything going for him right now. So you bring him back from Hershey. He does really well. I mean, he's a third-line center right now. He definitely had more upside than Chandler Stevenson this season, unfortunately. Chandler Stevenson last year had a rough season. It wasn't the greatest. I mean, he did pretty well this year, but last year, you know, he showed that he can kind of have those bad seasons, and he's a great guy that to have on your team. He's a good bottom sixer. I mean, look what he did with the Caps Cup run. I mean, his biggest claim to fame, setting up DSP in the Game 6 against the Tampa Bay Lightning. You know, he's definitely done that. Off the ice, seems like a really great guy as well. I mean, he took his day with the Cup, took it to Humboldt, and you know, he said he knew a couple of the kids that were on that bus crash. So, I mean, he's an all-around good guy, and you hate to see somebody like that leave. But like you said, I mean, this is sports, and this is a business, and unfortunately sometimes that has to happen. And, you know, Travis Boyd kind of won that battle, like we've seen with Verana and Burakovsky. I mean, there was a talent there, and they thought that they could, you know, do some more stuff with Boyd. That's how it happens. Garnett Hathaway, Brendan Leipzig, Richard Ponick, those three guys seem to finally be coming into their own. Now that Garnett Hathaway is back from his spitting suspension, he seems to be doing really well on the ice, and I've been happy with what these three guys have done in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen the team kind of come together, and it's been a bit rough because they've had guys that have been out, and that makes it obviously harder to have a consistent lineup. And then we saw that they struggled a little bit. So it's nice to see a lot of the guys step up and be able to fill in the gaps for when other people are out. I mean, Backstrom, I don't have a number in front of me in regards to how many games he's been out now, but hold on, actually should be able to tell based on these numbers. He's been out 6 games, I think he's missed at this point. So you're hoping to have him back, if not tonight. I haven't seen, actually.
Yeah, he's not playing tonight.
So he's definitely out tonight. All right, so he's got a couple of more days to rest before they go to Anaheim on Friday. So I honestly would be surprised if they let him rest, and if he's ready to come back, have him come back on Monday when they're at home against Columbus. Now that I've just stolen your like second part or the end bit for the show when you talk about the next 2 games. So those games are going to be on channel. No, I'm just kidding. You know, it's nice to see the other guys step up. I think we're seeing a lot of younger players, not younger players, but because I don't think actually isn't Leipzig, how old is he? He's only 25. That's not bad. Not to say the older guys are bad. That sounded meaner than I intended. I'm having a great night if I'm misspeaking. You know, the average age on the team is 28.5. Not terrible. They are getting a bit older, and you like to see them start getting younger with guys like Vrana and Wilson being 25. But it's nice to see some of the bottom six forwards step up and play better and kind of pick up the slack when the other guys are out. And the team's still winning. That's the biggest thing. They had a little bit of a hiccup, but then they just went, where'd my notes go? 4-1-1 in the past, I guess, what, in the past 2 weeks since we last recorded. You know, had that win over San Jose last night. They were able to beat Detroit 5-2. You know, Detroit's struggling this season. They've got, I think, 90% of their roster is injured or something like that. Like, it's ridiculous what's happening in Detroit right now. They're able to beat Tampa in overtime. They beat Florida. Unfortunately, they did have that hiccup against Vancouver, which is kind of a lazy game. And then the Rangers, the one before that. So, you know, I think they were able to turn things around, go on a nice little run, and, you know, things are going well right now. They just need to keep it up. Try and get the guys that are out healthy and bring them back. They're currently 7 points up on the Islanders, but they have played 3 more games, so the Islanders still technically have a shot at taking the lead. I don't understand how they keep having more games played than the Islanders. Like, the Islanders are just playing like twice a week. What is happening? They need to start playing some more games.
They put their feet up. They got an easy schedule.
It's ridiculous. But, you know, they got to keep going. And because the Islanders right behind, like I said, 7 points. Flyers with – they're 8 points up on – sorry, I was doing math. They're 8 points up on them. So you need the – you know, if the top guys aren't scoring, if the top guys are out, you need the bottom six forwards to step up. And it's on the defense. And I saw – did you see McClellan came out and said that he needs to see more from Nick Jensen and Rocco Gudas?
Oh, wow. He actually called those guys out?
If I read it correctly, unless I like dreamt this, but I'm pretty sure he came out and called them out in terms of he wants to see more or better production from those two. I mean, if you look at it, and I don't like this statistic, and I think I'm like the only one who doesn't like it, but Jensen's currently, he's got 2 points on the season. He's a -7. Gudas, on the other hand, is a +12 with 7 points. But so maybe it's just some other defensive play. He just wants to see a little bit better. I mean, Jensen, I guess, is the one I'm a little concerned about right now.
I mean, Ratko Gudas, we weren't really expecting much from him when he got signed, to be honest.
Well, it's not so much that. I just always thought he was a bit of a D-bag. But the players really seem to like him. I like that he – apparently he was the one that was with Chandler Stephenson when he found out that he got traded, and he like kind of helped him deal with the – because Stephenson had only been in the Caps organization. Like, he'd never been traded before. He never played for any other teams once, except for like juniors, I don't imagine. But, you know, he's always part of the Caps organization, so he didn't know how to handle, like, what was he supposed to do after being traded? You know, what's his next step? And so apparently Good just kind of helped him out with that, which is nice to see. It's nice to see that it might just be the case that when you play for the Flyers, it's just their style where you just become a bad person. And that then when you're back, you know, with another organization, you're like, oh, you're not so bad. It's like, what's his name? Danny Briere.
Oh, yeah.
When he was with the Sabres, he wasn't like, you know, a clown. And then he went over to the Flyers, and you're like, I hate this guy. Like, he's just such a – maybe that's Philly. Maybe there's something in the water in Philly that makes him hate everybody.
It's all the cheesesteaks. You got to eat so many cheesesteaks, you just get bloated and you get angry.
I guess.
Well, let's stick with talking about Ratko Gudas. He's a little bit – he's kind of in the news right now. He is playing for the Caps tonight against the Kings, but he had a rough game in San Jose with a run-in with Evander Kane, and Kane pretty much elbowed Gudas in the head and got nothing more than a fine. But can you believe that just a $5,000 fine, no suspension for Evander Kane on that hit?
So, yeah, I was going to talk about that a little later in around the NHL, but it seems to be that the NHL cares more about people spitting on each other than elbowing, which makes absolutely no sense to me, because one of them comes with a possible exchanging of germs and a trip to CVS. The other one comes with a possible concussions and career-ending possibilities. So something's not right here when it comes to the elbows and spitting and the NHL's version of how they dole out suspensions. The NHL, and you know, I know that our buddy Ryan has talked about this on Twitter, and Brandon Alter, who I follow on Twitter, he works for Caps Outsider. He was also talking about how it doesn't make any sense. It's ridiculous that you can go and elbow someone in the head and potentially, you know, cause a concussion, which can be not only career threatening, but potentially life threatening when it comes to you later in life, as we see with a lot of NFL players now that have retired and are having a lot of injuries due to possible concussions, sometimes in CTE. But you spit on someone, which may just give you a cold at some point in the near future, you're gone. Get out for 3 games. But if you cause potential life altering injury, you get a slap on the wrist. $5,000, which is something like Evander Kane, who's making a lot of money, is nothing. That's a dude, if I recall correctly, who's holding up money to his ear like it was a phone or something stupid.
It's ridiculous. The way they're looking at it is intent. I mean, there's when you spit at somebody, there's no way to say that you didn't mean to do that. Now, with Evander Kane, they might be thinking, oh, okay, it was an elbow, but it was in the middle of play. He maybe
did. Dude, irrelevant.
It didn't. I think this is what the NHL is thinking. I think that's completely
delusional.
I think that's completely wrong. I think that's ridiculous because when you're elbowing somebody like that, you are intending to hurt them. I think there should have been at least a game suspension. If it would have been Tom Wilson, he'd be sitting for the next 25 games.
The NHL requires that you are in control of your stick at all times. If you're going to do a stick lift or whatever, and you hit someone in the face, 2 minutes in the box. They're bleeding. It's 4 minutes. Okay. You're not intending to hurt someone, but it happened, which means you get penalized for it. Whether you're elbowing them on purpose, which makes you a giant a-hole, or if you did it by accident, is irrelevant. You have to be in control of your body at all times when you're on the ice. So if you hit someone in the head with your elbow, bye. You spit on someone, also buy, because it's gross. What's wrong with you? You're not a baby. My son spits. You know why? He's 6 months old. He doesn't know what he's doing. That's his way of communicating. You're a professional hockey player. There's other ways of communicating than spitting on people. You know how to speak. Okay? You also know not to throw your elbow around like it's a freaking rag doll or something. You just put it wherever you want. I understand it's a physical sport and things happen, but you have to suffer the consequences for the mistakes that you make. Okay, doesn't mean you're a bad person if you accidentally elbow someone, but it happened and you pay the price for it. Same thing with any penalty. You may not have intended to trip the guy, but you tripped him. Go sit in the box. Right? So if you do something wrong, you deserve to be penalized for it. But to say that spitting is worse than elbowing someone in the head and potentially giving them a concussion makes no damn sense.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's ridiculous and makes zero sense whatsoever that he is just getting a fine.
Whatsoever.
And not a suspension. Sorry, so. Very dumb on the NHL's part. Evander Kane should be sitting for at least a game. But let's go back to Nick Backstrom. Let's talk about him. He's out, unfortunately. It looks like he's very close. I mean, he is practicing. Looks like he is very close to coming back and playing. However, off the ice, he's been very busy because Nick Backstrom himself is negotiating a new contract with the Capitals, not through an agent. That's how much he says he trusts the Capitals organization. Is this a smart thing or a dumb thing on Nick Backstrom's part to do this?
Well, it's interesting because I believe Ovechkin's last contract, he negotiated, although I think his mom helped, or his mom negotiated the contract. Apparently, that was quite interesting. But she, or he, sorry, Backstrom feels comfortable negotiating his contract with the Caps, which to me means one of two things is going to happen. He's going to ask for a ton of money because he has an agent there telling him, don't do that.
Right.
Or he's not going to make as much as he probably could make with an agent, because an agent can probably drive a harder bargain because that's his job, is to sell you. Whereas Backstrom goes, sounds like he's going in there being like, look, I want to be here. You guys, I hope, want me to be here. Let's get something done, right? Something that makes sense in the NHL. And I, you know, it sounds like he will likely give the Caps a bit of a discount in terms of what he's going to get. And to me, it says he wants to be here. He's going to stay here. It's just a matter of how much money are they prepared to give him. And what does that do to the salary cap situation the Caps find themselves in going forward?
I mean, he is a huge part of this organization. Him and Ovi, best friends. They enjoy working together. The two of them are a fantastic pair. It's hard to imagine a team with Ovi and without Backstrom. So and vice versa. So I hope he can get it done. I hope that it can all stay civil. It's always really bad when agents and lawyers and that kind of stuff get involved. But hopefully Backstrom knows what he's doing. Hopefully this leads to him staying in D.C. I would love to see that. He's a fixture here for the Capitals organization. So I want him on this team. I hope they can come to an agreement. It'd be great if they could do it before the end of the season going forward. But what do you think he's going to get? I mean, agents or not, are we looking at... Do you think a long-term, like over 5-year deal, or are they going to stick to under 5? What's your take? What do you think?
Oh, I think he's going to get more than 5, no question there. But I think he's going to give the Caps a discount in terms of how much he will end up asking for. I'd have to go and look at like what other comparable players in terms of stats are getting, and I can't. Well, hang on, let me check the TSM and see if like their free agent tracker. Let me see if. Who got big money recently? Backstrom's currently about to wrap up a cap hit of $6.7 million. Hirscher, someone help me. I can't say this kid's name. Nico, his cap hit $7.25 million. I know who Mikko Rantanen is. He signed a 6-year deal with Colorado, cap hit of $9.25 million. I wouldn't be surprised if his cap hit comes up a little bit, but not dramatically. Because I think he's going to want to help the team out a little bit in terms of that cap hit. So if he gets anywhere around 7.5, I think would be probably fair. Although he's 32. I mean, it could come down. But aren't you not allowed to do that thing anymore where like your last 3 years are dramatically lowered so as to lower your cap hit? Don't they not let you do that anymore after the Devils tried to sign Kovalchuk?
I can't remember. I'm not sure.
Anyways, yeah. So I would be surprised if it was less, but I could see that happening, I guess. My guess is he gets something between 7 and 7.5. Watch, he's going to sign tomorrow. It's like, cap it of $11 million. I'm like, what? Like, well, Ovechkin's getting like $15 million per year because you think we're done with Backstrom after this year. Ovechkin's the next year. So that's going to be all the conversations next season in terms of what are they going to give him.
And Holpe.
He's this season. So once they're done with Backstrom, then they got to go talk to Holpe.
Man.
Who, keep in mind, is 4 years younger than Ovechkin, 2 years younger than Backstrom.
I do not feel bad 30. For Brian McClellan right now.
You got some work to do.
Yes,
I wouldn't be surprised to see like Jensen or Kempney. I don't think Gudas would be back. One of those guys might be gone, or Orlov, because of the money. And only because of the money. I'm not saying any other reason.
No, there's plenty of other reasons for him.
All right. He's been fine.
What else should we talk about in Caps World?
Speaking of Hagelin, he came back. I can't remember anymore. Hagelin came back. It was nice to see him back. That's why Stevenson got dealt, because they needed the cap space. And it's good to have him back, especially for the PK playing out there. Let's see. Oh, last little bit of news that we haven't talked about yet is the Caps and the Wharf here in DC have partnered up to present the Capitals Campfire at the Wharf. It's a Caps theme area open to the public. They have a fire pit with these wooden Adirondack chairs with the Caps logo on them. They look actually really cool, and I kind of want one. Adirondack chairs, by the way, like wooden ones, really expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, that term is sort of depends on the person in terms of what they think is expensive or not. But, like, it's stupid how expensive Adirondack chairs are. Fans can come and roast marshmallows on Thursdays through Sundays. They're actually selling Caps-themed s'mores.
What?
If I read this correctly, is a peppermint patty wrapped in a chocolate graham cracker.
Why aren't we there right now?
Because it's not a Thursday through Sunday first. But then also, it's just after 9 p.m. and I have to be up in like 8.5 hours. Yeah. What else? Oh, yeah. So it's actually it's like $350 or something for one of those. Actually sounds kind of cool. Other bit is the Wharf Ice Rink will also have Caps banners and a Caps themed Zamboni.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. Have you ever been down to the Wharf?
I have not.
So I was down there back in the first week of September because I went to go to the Anthem, the music venue, which is down there to go see Of Monsters and Men. It's a nice little area. I liked it. The Anthem I actually really liked. I mean, I loved the concert, which is probably why I really liked it. But it's a nice little venue. I think it can hold no more than like 6,000 at max. Which is why DC-101, who had, I think, Mumford & Sons are playing there tomorrow, that sold out like immediately because they can clearly sell more than a 6,000 seat or not even seat, 6,000 person venue. There are seats at the Anthem, but a lot of it's a standing room. But yeah, Monsters and Men was awesome. Anyways, the Wharf is a nice little area, so it was pretty cool.
All right, so is that it for Caps World?
I think that's it for Caps World.
All right. Well, we'll be right back, and then we are going to go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, in the past 2 weeks, the Bears went 1-3-1 with a win over Hartford. Bears are struggling.
Not
good. And are currently sixth in the Atlantic Division. Now, they'll try to turn their season around on Friday with a home-and-home starting on the road in Lehigh Valley. Then they have a home game at the Giant Center on Sunday against Wilkes-Barre Scranton. One good thing the Bears have going for them is that they had their teddy bear tossed this past weekend, where they collected 45,650 stuffed animals.
Wow.
Holy crap. That's insane.
That's a lot of bears.
45 plus thousand stuffed things. How did someone not die?
They're very soft.
That's so not when there's 45,000 of them. Holy crap. That is a new record for the Hershey Bears. They beat their record, which they set last year, was something like 35 or 33,000, which still is an insane number. Does the Giant Center even like have that many seats? It can't, because I'm pretty sure, what the heck is it called now? Capital One only has like 20 something, if 18 something. So was everyone bringing in like four stuffed animals? I don't understand.
My favorite video is the person.
Someone brought in one of those shirt cannon things, stuff with stuffed animals, probably just firing them onto the ice.
I love the person who brought like the giant teddy bear you buy at Costco for $50, and the thing.
Okay, that killed someone.
That thing body surfed around the rink before it went in.
That actually sounds really cool.
Do you know who the player was that got the goal to start everybody throwing it?
I believe it was Christian Juice.
Juice. The juice is loose.
Yeah, he's had a rough season so far in terms of his desires to be in the NHL.
Yeah, he's been up with the Caps for a little bit and then got sent right back down.
Yeah, I'd be right.
Yeah. So what else is going on?
Well, let's head on down. Oh, actually, Before we go down to South Carolina, last little bit of things regarding the craziness that is 45,000 plus stuffed animals being thrown at a relatively high rate of speed. The stuffed animals will actually be donated to around 40 local organizations at the holiday season. So that's a really nice thing they're doing.
Nice.
Let's go down to South Carolina. The Stingrays went 3-0-1 with two wins over Florida and one over Orlando. They own the state of Florida, apparently. They're currently first in the South Division, 3 points up on the Florida team, who I believe play like the Fort Lauderdale, Miami area. Florida's also played three more games than South Carolina, so they're sitting pretty right now. They're actually playing right now as we speak in Atlanta before they head to Florida for back-to-back games. They then come home to host Orlando at the North Charleston Coliseum next Tuesday. Now, down in the minors, Caps prospect Connor McMichael was named to Team Canada's World Junior Championship Selection Camp. So basically, the kid has a shot to make the team, but hasn't made the team yet. Dude has been tearing it up. He's got something like 149 points in two games or something like that. It's not quite that ridiculous.
That's
wild. But he has been tearing it up. I think he's not, if I have this correctly, he's not old enough to be in the AHL, which is why he had to go back to juniors. But I feel like he'd be tearing it up in Hershey. Kid, if he can keep his head right, he's got a future in the NHL. I'm excited to see this kid play with the Caps.
Yeah, I'm excited. Assuming
might be the very near future.
I mean, I'm very excited because we've read so much about this kid and seen some highlights. But with the World Juniors, if he makes the team, I'm going to assume he will. But if he makes this team, playing for Team Canada, I mean, you're going to get a lot of those games on the NHL Network. So it'll be good to see him in an actual game environment. We haven't been able to do that yet.
No, it'll be nice to see him play. And, you know, he might be like a Tom Wilson kind of thing. You know, as he come play for the Caps at the end of the season.
Yeah, Tom went from, what, the Erie Otters to the Hershey Bears to the Caps all within a month span.
I thought it was all within like a week.
Yeah, that might have been closer. Might have been a week.
You know, it was crazy. And this kid may have a little a meteoric rise as well.
Very cool.
So, yeah, that's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, so go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. Everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. Plenty of stuff to talk about. What, again, we take a week off and everybody just loses their minds all the time. Yeah.
Seriously, the NHL apparently decided to wait until we go on hiatus for the S to hit the fan. So many things happened over the past 2 weeks, and I've done my best to find the news to bring them to you guys. Let's start with some basic fun stuff first, though. All right, we're going to start with some suspensions and fines. Yay! People being idiots. Tampa Bay's Eric Cernak was suspended 2 games for elbowing Buffalo defenseman Rasmus Dahlin. Nashville forward Ryan Johansson was fined $5,000 for elbowing Tampa Bay forward Braden Point. And we talked earlier about San Jose forward Evander Kane was fined $5,000 for elbowing Caps defenseman Radko Gudas. I don't know what's going on with everybody's elbowing each other, but how about you knock that off?
They should.
It's ridiculous. The fact that the NHL thinks that spitting is worse than elbowing just makes no freaking sense to me. But yeah, all right, let's get into some more news. New Jersey fired head coach John Hines. They've been struggling this season, the team overall. So they decided to replace him with assistant coach. And I don't know if I'm saying this dude's name right. Alain Nesredin? Sorry. Got way more letters than I feel like there should be. As well as extra letters. It's like Sean Morrison, where there's just extra letters thrown in for fun. He is now currently the interim head coach of the New Jersey Devils. In more interesting news, and I'm just going to go through this quickly, and then we'll talk about it. Toronto fired head coach Mike Babcock and replaced him with Sheldon Keefe on an interim basis. Keefe was the head coach of the AHL Marlies. I believe these are all interim, but I could be wrong. I have to be honest. Calgary's Bill Peters resigned. He was the head coach of the Calgary Flames. He resigned after allegations of him using racist language towards a former player while coach of the AHL's Charlotte Checkers. And Chicago essentially suspended us. They haven't used that terminology, I believe, but they suspended assistant coach Mark Crawford after allegations about him came out that he had physically abused players in the past. Now, as I said, I didn't purposely go into all of the allegations because there's a bigger issue here. And that bigger issue is don't be an a-hole. Like, it's not that hard. Like, so Crawford is accused of, and I'm going to try and see if I can read all of these. But Crawford is accused of, let's see, Sean Avery, of all people. Sean Avery claims that Crawford kicked him after he took too many men on the ice penalty while Crawford was the head coach in Los Angeles. Patrick O'Sullivan alleges verbal abuse when he was a younger player with the Kings. Brent Sopel apparently said all of those things happened and more while he was playing for the, what does it say, Jack Adams Trophy winner in Vancouver. I'm reading an article from the Toronto Sun. Sopel says that he kicked me, he choked me, he grabbed the back of my jersey and pulled me back. He attacked guys personally. This is what Sopel said a year ago. A story came out that Babcock, when he was working with Mitch Marner early in his career, him being Marner, that he called Marner into his office and asked him to write down the names of players that he felt could do better, or something along those lines, to rank the players in terms of who's doing well and who's doing poorly right now. And Marner put himself pretty low because he wanted to, you know, not only to be like, I'm the best, but also to show that he had room to grow, thinking that this was a thing for him to like help him grow. And it's just between him and his head coach, Mike Babcock. Babcock then took this and took it to the other players to show them what Marner had said or written down. Like, I, the physical abuse, the mental abuse, like, I don't understand why you would do that. And then Bill Peters coming out and calling, and I apologize if I say his name wrong, Akeem Aleu, calling him the N-word, or calling his music, using it, using the N-word in regards to the music that he was playing. What is wrong with these people? Like, I don't get it. I used to coach, and not at the same level, and I understand that the stress and the demand for a coach at the professional level, be it the minor leagues, in the professional leagues, the major leagues, I guess you should say, the top level, is significantly higher than when I coach middle school girls soccer. Like, mine's not as intense as theirs is. Okay, I get it. I don't do well. I got a parent on the sideline giving out orders that contradict what I'm saying. Like, that's probably my biggest stress. It's like, will you stop it? They're my players. You're going to confuse them. Leave them alone. That's the biggest thing I have to deal with. I get that these guys have harder things to deal with. But you don't kick people. You don't choke them. You don't hurt them. And you don't drop the N-word because you want to mentally abuse a player or you don't like his music. You don't like his music, close the door, put on your own music. Just don't be an a-hole. It's not that hard. It's not hard to be nice to people. I mean, sometimes if they're a jerk, it's hard to be nice to them. But they're your players. You want to motivate them. There's other ways to do it. There's other ways to motivate guys than acting this way, than physically abusing. I get it was an older – it was not back in the day, but these were, you know, different times and everything like that. But the reality is it doesn't work necessarily. I get it Babcock did well in Detroit, but look at those teams he had. I mean, they're amazing players, which I feel like almost with any other decent coach, they probably still would have won. But the fact that anyone thought it was okay to physically or verbally abuse another human being to an extent that caused the kind of animosity that we're hearing now. I mean, Dan Carcello alleges that Daryl Sutter kicked him when he was on the bench. Chris Chelios came out and talked about Babcock as a fearmonger while he was in Detroit. Then Johan Franzen said that he was scared to be in an arena with Babcock because of the horrible things that he would say to him. There's a reason that Mike Commodore was super excited when Babcock got fired in Detroit. And then when he got fired in Toronto, because he knows that the guy's a douche.
Here's my question about the kicking thing. I mean, all of these allegations need to be taken seriously and they need to be looked into. And we need to figure out what actually happened, what didn't happen and all that stuff. But to say that you're kicked on the bench, there's always a video, like a camera pointed at the benches or pointed at, is there any sort of video evidence to go along with that? I feel as if a fan or somebody out there on Twitter, when the person says, I got kicked, I got choked, I feel like that would have made some sort of news on ESPN or NHL Network or something. That just seems really weird to me that these allegations of this happening on the bench and there's no video proof of it. Not saying it didn't happen, because the assistant coaches and other people have come forward and said, yeah, that did happen. So I'm sure it did. But it's really weird that the NHL or a fan out there hasn't found any video proof of that yet.
Well, I guess to some extent, you know, what type... No, that's going to sound dumber than I'm intending. But, like, the choking is the thing where you're grabbing the guy by the back of his pads,
right,
and you're pulling it back hard enough that it's actually causing him to get choked. I don't know if it's physically like Latrell Sprewell style, where you're putting your hands around PJ Carlissimo's throat. You know, something like, I don't know if it's anything like that. But either way, there are other ways to motivate players.
Agreed.
Than to physically abuse them. And, you know, are these things that are happening in practices, not necessarily games, are the ways to get away with them on the bench and no one's going to see, where you're walking by the guy and you put your knee in his back or something to get them to, which, by the way, if I'm playing and my coach comes up to me and knees me in the back or says something, like, that doesn't motivate me. Like, I'm not going to go there and be like, all right, I'm going to play harder for you. I'm like, screw you, buddy. You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to my agent and tell him what's going on. Be like, get me out of here. There's 29, now 30, soon to be 31 other teams that I can play for that hopefully won't treat me this way, that won't demean me in front of my teammates, that won't embarrass me in front of my teammates, the guys that I'm out there playing for every night.
Now, the coach that resigned in Calgary, saying the N-word, that's never okay, that shouldn't happen, especially with if you're a coach and you're with a younger player. If you don't like the music that he's playing, just, you know, talk to him about it. But I was very thrown off by the fact that the player came out and said that due to him saying the N-word, he called him in the next day and reassigned him to the ECHL. I mean, that's major racism right there. If you don't like the way he's playing and the music he's playing, and then you're just like, well, send him to the ECHL then. That was horrible to read about, because that pretty much just derailed that kid's entire career over, you know, the type of music he's playing. I think that's ridiculous.
I mean, I can't say because I don't recall ever actually seeing the guy play, whether he was good enough or not to be in the AHL, NHL, ECHL, whatever the case may be. But it should never, I mean, it never should have come to that. You don't like his music? Fine. I don't like all the music I hear. My wife listens to country. I don't like it, but I'm not like being overly rude towards her when she's playing it in the car. I might ask to listen to something else, but that's it. But it's just situations where don't need to happen because they're just completely unnecessary. And do something obviously wrong. And he hasn't tried to defend it necessarily. There was a statement that came out from Peters essentially apologizing for the situation, but never actually apologizing to the player that he said that to, which seems a little weird to me. But I guess maybe he didn't want to, like...
Well, that's because a lawyer wrote it up.
Well, that's probably true, too.
Yeah.
But the point is, this whole thing going on, it's, you know, it's... It's with everything going on in the world now, where there's a lot of different things that more and more information is able to come out, which I think is beneficial to some extent regarding things being better for people. You know, we have people that are now being held accountable for their actions that may not have been in the past that cause hard times, be them big or small, for others. So you're looking at a situation where, you know, everyone looked at Detroit as this model organization in the NHL. I mean, they're winning Stanley Cup after Stanley Cup. They had all these amazing players. And now you're hearing a guy like Johan Franzen hated being in the building. He was scared to be, according to the quote from the Toronto Sun article, he was scared to be in the arena with Babcock. So it's just, you know, you look at these things and you're like, what is going on behind the scenes that fans don't know about or what used to happen? And it's good to see these things are coming out now so that they can stop. And it's just unfortunate that it had to come to this point before something was done about it.
I can tell you from a personal level, I was bullied at a former job that I had by a higher up. And I knew, like, going to HR or anything else like that was a lost cause. Because the guy had too much power. I mean, he was, you know, one of the top people there. Nobody's going to try to take that down. So I left. I found another gig and I left because I knew I would not be happy there, and that his way of leading, if you want to use that in air quotes, would not be beneficial for to get my work done and motivate me. That's not how I'm motivated. So it's a very uncomfortable thing to deal with. It's something that you think you leave in high school, but there's always going to be bullies, and to come forward and that kind of thing, to kind of face them, takes a lot of guts, because it's definitely not something that is easy to do. So I left that gig and kind of moved on and did other things. And, I'm glad I didn't stay there. It was very unhealthy for, mental health, and very unhealthy for my career. I mean, you don't want to get jaded to the thing that you love doing. So, it really sucks that some people, very few people get to play hockey professionally. And it sucks that some people didn't get to do that just because of certain type of music, or because a certain coach was so full of himself. He had to publicly shame younger players. So hopefully the culture in the sports world and in the business world is changing, especially now with things like social media. But, you don't want to see these bad people in power anymore. It's kind of disgusting to see. And they're supposed to be representatives of the companies, and they're supposed to be representatives of the team and what it means to be a role model. And that's definitely what these guys were doing, was not being a role model in any way. They were being a bully. That's nothing else to say about that, but they were bullies.
Yeah. It comes down to bullying. You're bullying players, be it physically or mental, and that's not okay. And, now these the coaches are being held accountable for it, and they should be.
Anything else to talk about for around the NHL?
If there is, I didn't find it. That's the news for the best 2 weeks in the NHL. It's just like thing after thing. I mean, the coach that got fired in New Jersey, I'd like to point out, he was not a part of this as far as we know.
He was just not doing well.
It just wasn't working out, so they moved on from him. Possibility of Taylor Hall getting traded. Sounds like the Devils are potentially looking around if anybody's interested in acquiring him, because they're having a rough season. As great as it would be to have him on the Caps, they definitely don't have the cap space for that one, unless they moved out someone like TJ Oshie. So yeah, that's the news from the past 2 weeks in the NHL.
All right, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals-related stuff regarding the team. When I have a chance to actually sit on my phone and tweet stuff. And when they're not playing...
Why are you sitting on your phone?
Not sitting on my phone. You know what I don't understand, by the way, since you brought this up, because I said the wrong thing. Why do people sit on their phone and put their phone in their back pocket? That's how it's going to get cracked.
I know.
The screen's going to crack when you sit on it.
I don't get it either.
I don't care if you're the tiniest person. The chair that you sit on might be really hard. Bam, get a cracked screen. I never understood that. My wife puts her phone in her back pocket. I don't get it. Oh, but she has like the girl pants with the side pockets aren't really pockets.
I was going to say the girl pants.
They're like a millimeter deep.
Yeah, they're not actual pockets.
So I get that. Okay, fine. Fair. Which, stupid. Can we give girls pants that actually have real pockets?
And to be honest, girls carry more stuff in their pockets than dudes. They need the space.
No, I think I carry more in the end. I just have a lot of keys. Because I always carry.
Keys, phone, wallet.
I'll have to show you sometime, but I always get made fun of. Because I have like my house keys, which is like a couple different ones. Because when we bought our new house back in February, the freaking front door and the side door and the back door and the back side door, that's the whole thing, all have different keys. I was like, what? All right, fine. That's stupid. Now I have to carry four keys instead of one. But then I also have like work keys, and I got keys to my sister's place, my parents' place. If I have to stop by there, it's like, carry. I have a lot of keys, is my point. So like, I have to carry that around. You get wallet, phone, some chapstick. Got to keep, you want to keep the lips nice. So that kind of thing. Dude, chap lips hurt, man.
Sure.
So, yeah. We've gotten way off topic once again.
So we're talking chapstick.
Somehow that was finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But if you've enjoyed the show and enjoyed how we go off topic all the time, go ahead and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthefuckpod. Do we have a new one that I don't know about?
We are not progressive rock.
Facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where you can find out when new shows are coming out, as well as all other sorts of things about the Washington Capitals that come into Brandon's head or out on the interwebs. He will post them there for you. That's Facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, if they've enjoyed the show and they want to hear other shows where you go off topic, where should they go?
You can go to brandocash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck and all the other stuff we do. If you are a Baltimore Ravens fan at this point, how are you not?
Why?
If you are not a Baltimore Ravens fan, what is the matter with you right now? Check
I'm from
out
Montgomery County, and I'm a sellout.
You're a Marylander. That's your team.
I am a Marylander. I grew up, well, first of all, I'm a Marylander who didn't have a team in Maryland. Actually, that's not true. No, wait, I'm stupid. They're at RFK. I'm a Marylander that didn't have a team in Maryland, so I follow the Skins. But now I'm a disgruntled Skins fan, so I don't really follow them as much.
Well, the Ravens are LaMarvelous, so make sure you go check out...
Shaking my head at you for that one.
my Ravens podcast called The Call. Me and my buddy Josh talk all things Ravens, and I think we'll be doing games in January and a little bit further. So make sure you check us out if you are a football or a Ravens fan. We know Ryan is not a Ravens fan, our buddy Ryan, but if he wants to listen to me talk about the Ravens, that's where you do it on The Call.
Yeah, he's a Patriots fan. He and I, we got our Arsenal-Chelsea rivalry, and then I'm following the Bills now. We got a Bills-Patriots. Oh, Bills are 9-3, baby.
They're going to be 9-4 after Sunday.
I got to stop yelling. The new place I record is the room next to where my son is currently sleeping. Although when he's out, dude is out. He's a good sleeper. Anyways, that's now good. That I said that, I'll be up at 1 a.m. What were you saying before I started yelling and they got concerned?
The Bills will be 9-4 after this Sunday because they're up against the Ravens.
Well, first of all, this should be 10-2. They lost to the freaking Browns.
How do you do that?
Oh, and
that's what the Ravens did.
If the Patriots hadn't been cheap and knocked out Josh Allen with a concussion, they would have beat the Patriots earlier.
But
we'll see, dude. It's going to be the Bills are doing well. You know, they went out. Dallas is not like a great team, but they are a good team, and they dominated the Cowboys. It's not as close as that game seemed to be.
No, so let's talk a little bit more hockey, though. You can listen.
Yeah, I already covered this part earlier in the show.
We do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. All right, so until we talk again, let's go over the games happening. The Caps are up against the Kings right now as we speak. Hopefully that's a win. I would like to think it's a win. They're going to finish up their California road trip on Friday, December 6th, up against the Anaheim Ducks.
I actually watch that one. It's Friday. I don't have to get up
Friday night.
Day.
There you go. I have to work the next day, but that's fine. I don't have to work until 10 a.m. So that works out.
Why are you working on a Saturday?
We have a pledge drive currently.
Okay,
so
cool.
We got some Saturday programming you can watch.
Would you like to hear the lineup as sent out by Tarik El-Bashir 11 seconds ago?
Let's hear it.
We have, against the LA Kings, Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Wilson, Vrana, Eller, Oshie, Hagelin, Boyd, Ponick, Leipzig, Dowd, Hathaway. I like the Leipzig, Dowd, Hathaway. That is a good line. Kempe, Carlson, Orlov, Jensen, Singenthaler, Gudas, and Samsonov is getting the nod tonight against those LA Kings.
Not surprising. Kind of pretty standard there. Back to back, Samsonov in net. Everything else seems kind of standard. We'll see what happens in the next day or two when Backe gets back on the ice.
Yeah. Who's getting the bench?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's gonna be Boyd.
I would assume Boyd.
Boyd or Dowd. Yeah. Or maybe it becomes a rotation between Boyd, Dowd, and then a Leipzig Hathaway, maybe. I don't know.
We'll see. But anyway, on Friday, December 6th, the Caps finish off their California road trip up against the Ducks. You can watch that game at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on NBC Sports Washington Plus, or if you are an ESPN Plus subscriber, it is airing there as well. And the Caps have the weekend off to come back home. They're back on December 9th, that Monday, up against the Columbus Blue Jackets. That game's at 7 o'clock. You can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington or the NHL Network. And then next Wednesday, the Caps welcome the Boston Bruins to town. That game is at 7 o'clock, and that is going to be a national game on NBC Sports. So Wednesday night, not rivalry night, will be the Caps and the Bruins. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Thank you all for listening. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. What's up, babes?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.